The Business Simplicity Podcast, where leaders share their most successful strategies and the failures that inspired them, so business owners and managers can avoid the suffering and reap the benefits. With your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to the Business Simplicity Podcast. I'm having a conversation with Nick Van Someren, who I've worked with a couple of times, both within the ABN AMRO Bank Group. I'm not sure how many years ago that is. Maybe that'll come up, but it's always been a delight working with and for Nick. The thing that I love is he looks at the world differently than I do, and typically when we talk, I'm left inspired. And the most recent time, we were at an Agile conference in Luxembourg, and you know, we're talking about life, the universe, and everything, and yeah, it lands with me. So I'm delighted that Nick is able to join and have a conversation. And the topic that we're going to wrestle with is fascinating, and how to look at life, love, people, and business maybe slightly different than we normally do every day. So Nick, before we jump into the meat of it, can you kick us off a little bit with, you know, I'm curious, how do you describe, what is it that you do as a person?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, Chris, thanks for having me. And what I wanted to mention is we're going to talk about leadership and what it means for us. But I find it interesting because one of the inspirations in leadership is actually you, because we work together quite a bit. So I'm really honored to talk about leadership with you in that sense. So I don't feel like as an expert on it, but definitely got a view on it. So thanks for that. What I do, I'm a leader in technology, I would say, working in the financial industry for about 10 years, various roles, but always on the verge of leading teams towards a certain goal. And I like to think that my superpower is making sure that IT is actually paying off. So IT is obviously a costly thing, but we have to make sure that it brings more value than it costs. So that's what I try to do. That's on the professional side. And on the personal side, I've been involved in leadership in the local church for over 15 years now. And, you know, I've learned a lot about leading people and helping people to find themselves and to get better as a person. So I tend to look at both worlds and look at the parallels. And that's also going to be the topic for today. So what can we learn from a church organization, which is 100% voluntary, and how we organize ourselves and how we remain high quality in what we do, and how can we adopt that in our professional lives?
Cool. I'd love to pick apart a little bit about the why behind this, because you shared, you know, sort of your superpower in business is to, I think, create value with IT or technology. Is the motivation related to church also somehow attached to a value somehow, or like, are the motivations similar, or is this a completely different part of you?
I think partly. I think in business, when we talk about IT and producing value for the company, that's on a certain capability. So when we talk about a CRM system or a data capability, then we have to be careful that we don't overspend. We have to know what the value is of that capability. Looking at long-term value, people are in essence an essential part of remaining to be able to deliver value. And I think there's a thing that overlaps with church, because in church, our main goal is to help people move on, get better as a person, knowing themselves, and in that sense, create value. So there is a parallel. And I think that's on the people side.
Yeah. And when we were kicking it around in Luxembourg, talking about the podcast and things, and then You raise this parallel between church and business. It clicked in my mind as my oldest brother Stephen, who's probably listening to this. I think he might be the one person who's listened to every one of the podcast. At least he did up to so recently. So I hope hi Steve, if you're listening. But just the professionalism and the structure and the you know, all the things that we maybe attribute to business design are also, you know, attributable to churches. And even though it's nonprofit, you know, churches need to make money through their tithing and other activities, and they have costs they need to spend. So it is in a way a business in itself. So reflecting on you know, what I understood from my brother's church back in Colorado, maybe can you describe a little bit about what your church looks like and how it operates, and then maybe from there we can make the connections back to the business world.
So our church is basically a community, and we organize multiple things throughout the week. Obviously there's a Sunday where we have church, a service, and that service is you could look at it as a little event, because people are welcomed, people get something to drink, something to eat, but there's also a team that is keeping an eye on the people. There is music, there's someone preaching, and all of that is produced in that sense. So we have lighting, we have a live stream, we have someone doing the sound. So it's quite professional in that sense. Also in terms of the equipment we use. And besides the Sunday service, there are these groups that operate in an autonomous way. So there are, we call them connect groups, community groups, and they organize themselves throughout the week around certain topics, or as a group of people that do life together, basically help each other when it is necessary. Someone is moving, it organizes itself. But as a church, we try to keep an eye on all those elements, because you know, it needs to be aligned. And we don't control the groups, but we want to know what is happening there, because it should all be one. And therefore, I think there is more to doing church than just going there and, you know, following a service and going away again. And I think also there's the parallel with organization. We have to manage that. And we are responsible for the people that come, that they don't have any bad experiences, that we don't have any wrong preaching in that sense. Often, people that come to church are broken inside. They are looking for something, or even they struggle with certain topics in life, for example, relationships or financial stuff. So people are not necessarily in a place that they are all pumped up and ready to go. We have to get them there, right? And that whole thing we want to organize and lead in a way that honors the people and is still 100% voluntary. And I think looking at how we organize that and how difficult it sometimes is to organize that based on volunteers, I think churches are doing a great job on that. And I think looking at professional organizations, we are often used that, you know, people are there because we have a contract for X hours per week. And in that time, you just have to, you know, do your job and do it well. And of course, there are a whole lot of levels in that. People don't only come to work for the money anymore. But still, it's a contractual relationship instead of a relationship that you are in, and especially, and I think maybe that's also the connection to why this is very important in this current age or time. I mean, especially in tech, you know, people can work everywhere they want. It's not they are used to having a good salary and basic stuff in place. So how will organizations win the war on talent, if you can call it like that, if there is only a contract that is managing that relationship instead of the human needs that people also have, and such a lot of competition?
Maybe before we get into to how maybe businesses can learn from that church experience, I'm reflecting on your comment that, you know, oftentimes people arrive at church broken, and that's not different than business. You know, I mean, we don't talk about it as much, but you know, behind every human that you work with, there's a life, a struggle, you know, the doubts, the addictions, the joys, the birthdays. There's a whole, you know, experience, a rich human thing going on there. And then, but somehow we just diminish all that into some professional mask and show up and, you know, in our suit and tie. I feel that's shifting, you know, slowly, you know, over time, that we are you know, becoming more aware that it is a human journey. So continuing on that, how does the church do that really well? And maybe, you know, what can business leaders learn from that?
I think in general, you could see it as a process or a journey, which is never a straight line. But in general, we focus on people and the journey people make. So they come to church and they are looking for answers on what they believe or whatnot. And so the first part for us is the step that we call, you know, getting to know God, basically getting to know what the Christian belief is all about. And that step. As a second step, you know, it's important that people are going to work on themselves, with the church, with people that are there for them, with God. And we call that step finding freedom. And in that process of finding freedom, and that can mean anything, financial, relationship, religious, anything. And often it's multiple things, and that step is never done, right? But in that process, we also start to look at how can you make an impact? How can you make a difference? And that's the part where people start to be engaged in helping out, because they learn that they are becoming a better person. The interesting thing, if you plot that on professional organizations, businesses, we start at the end. Like, show me your resume, show me what you've done. And that's also the reason why you're going to work here. And that's the start of the conversation. But we miss out on the first two parts. And if really translate it, getting to know God is actually about purpose. How many businesses are really good at telling what their purpose is in society or in their domains? And also, how many organizations are good in helping the people find their freedom in the organization? Yeah? It's often when you join a new organization, it takes about 2 months, and then you're used to it. But that means that you go into the flow of that organization, the culture, the processes, the standards. But actually, what we should want is to help them find their place of freedom in the organization. What can they do? What can't they do? What are their talents they bring? We miss those steps because we start at the end, and we also have conversations about the last step being making a difference and performance, basically.
I love it. Yeah, the word purpose and purpose-driven strategies is thrown around so often, was in such a lazy way. But to know an organization that is truly clear and determined on why they exist, it's hard to find. I think churches are a great example that, you know, there is that binding mission, if you will, you know, that binding reason to be. So, call it onboarding. I don't know, maybe that's the wrong word, but when someone's a you know, coming to the church, maybe the first time. Imagine they have never heard about Christianity, or if they have, they might have heard some incorrect things or myths. And how do you share that energy with them? How do you, you know, like
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think that taps into also a bit of behind the scenes of what organization in church means. We call that the Sunday experience, and you know, you can tell someone information, but people need to feel it. And so we as Christians, and that's also how we invest our time and our money in this organization, because we really feel this is important. And that's also what we need to show. So it literally starts with when people drive into the streets, they need to see people waiting for them. So people are standing outside to just say hi in a very friendly manner, even though it's raining. You know, we are to say hi to people, and that's not because we think that's necessary. We have to, but we want people to feel welcome, and that translates throughout the whole Sunday. That's only the start, because Sunday is just Sunday. But the heart of the church is the community, basically the teams and the groups that join throughout the week to discuss topics or to help out each other. So yeah, it's very little. It's also telling, of course, but it's mainly about a culture that you want to have as a group of people.
I guess it is a different dynamic in that these people have self-selected in a way. So, you know, it's not like a Burger King, so that they hired some random people and said, you know, on page 4 of the manual, smile before you say, may I help you? Mm-hmm. So I think there must be a much deeper sense of authenticity that people are just inherently inspired to be out there in the rain, welcoming people.
And that's the point. I think that's also the point in this current age, especially because I'm working in technology, and there are such a lot of jobs you can work at, you can work at, or companies you can work for, and that's what the war on talent is all about. And I really see organizations that drive on that output primarily, or in the first place, struggling with retaining talent over time, because they miss out on that self-selection. So it's kind of a sort of starting at the end, starting at the output, but the discussion has to be on identity first. And that's also why I think it will become more important for companies to shift their focus from the output part to the people part. And that does not mean that your quality standards have to lower at all, because I would turn that around. Your quality will increase when you have people that are engaged. But it's very difficult for structures, bigger organizations that have all these kind of structures in place to manage the output. So it's not something that I think bigger organizations or older organizations can change all of a sudden, but it starts with us as leaders that we do that in our domains.
I describe myself sometimes as a very humanistic technology leader. It's just inherent to me, so it's obvious that I'm going to agree with you. I'm not going to disagree with it. But I'm wondering if and maybe I'm going to use the word faith in a slightly different word. Way for than maybe a religious way, that what I see with more you know output metric Newtonian management science type managers is they just lack the faith that those humans are able to be inspired and seeking to deliver greatness. And what I see, you know, like whenever I come in, and usually I come into organizations if there's a change or transformation or trauma going on. And if some if a human is struggling and failing, that the first place I look is the leadership context around them, because that's typically where a root of a lot of the problems are coming from. And if you solve the leadership issue, not all the time, but these people can start to blossom and bloom and get reconnected. So, so how can managers, and you work in financial services and banks, and you know, how could managers shift and find that faith in humanity a bit more? Like, what, do you have any tips, tricks?
Well, I don't know if these are good tips, but what I've experienced is, you know, I totally agree with that leadership part. And we have a sort of a one-liner. We have multiple one-liners on our culture cards and shares. We say, when the leader gets better, everyone gets better. And I think that taps into what you're saying. I recall one time where, a leader, was, you know, patient enough to create an environment to learn in, and in fact that was you. Because I know one time we had this we were releasing in big banks, and you know that was a thing, because and if you talk about distrust and not being sure that this is going to work, that was really the case there. We almost knew that it was going to fail again, and as a group of people, we weren't in a place that we were mature enough to do it well. So in fact, if you would say leaders do not have the faith that the people manage it, in that case that was a valid fear, because it was true. But then when it went wrong, you know, you in that case you created an environment where it could go wrong. And then we could learn from that and reflect on it. And that was the basis of growing. So it's often, I think, also a timing thing. We want to have output and want to have outcome and performance. And we want it now because we are steering on output. But sometimes there's just, we just need a little bit of time to fail in a controlled manner and learn. And then we grow. And then it's about the growth of the people in that sense. In this case, it was for my growth, because it was a real learning journey. But also that was the start of adopting a way better way of working. So answering your question, what should leaders do? I think be a bit patient and create an environment where you can fail in a controlled manner. And then making sure that reflection happens so that we improve. And stepping back to church, we always also say we are striving for what's the English word, excellence, but not perfection. So then, and there's a thin line, because it doesn't have to be perfect, but we are striving for excellence, meaning if we see something lying on the floor, we want to have a culture that we pick it up. It does not mean that there that nothing may lay on the floor, but that's just the culture we try to build.
Nice. Thank you for that reflection. It's fun, because you know, sometimes organizations I see they've sort of enshrined and they're sort of dogmatic about their ways, and sometimes you look at it and like, why is it so hard? this can be easier. And I think the last topic I want to wrestle with is something we were chatting about before we pressed record, which is the dimension of love, and how love at work is I think you described it as a bit awkward, but for me, if as a manager, or even as just a peer of someone in a company, and if you see someone from the a true perspective of love and care and respect, then immediately in that is the space to fail, you know, because like I see beyond the outcome and see the intent and I see the behavior and you know, and I see the essence. And you know, if you're leading from love, which I more and more consciously strive to literally lead from love. And I think that has huge parallels with you know, volunteer in your church space, which is basically, you know, life from love, if I can rewrite those books in a way. Then naturally things grow because, you know, for me, you know, the human condition is learning and growing every day and love and the space that loves. So, what can we do to bring a little more love into leadership?
We can do a lot, of course. It starts with just a perception and a conscious choice. Yeah, so you also asked me what would be an excellent outcome of this podcast. Yeah, I know, you know, if people listen to this and they are driving to work or whatever, and they, you know, what I would love is that people reflect on, okay, how am I at work and how do I look at my people, my resources, quote unquote, or if we, as we have also called them once in a while, like meat widgets as a joke, like making a point that we are, yeah, we should be talking about people instead of resources to reach a certain goal. The goal, you know, it is very important, of course, but I think we have to dare to let go of the goal a bit and create some space in our minds consciously that we are talking about people, not resources or meat widgets. And also reflect on what would I need in my job? What am I looking for in my job? And I think if you do that and you have a conversation about that with each other, I think, you know, room will open up for those kind of discussions. And I also want to emphasize, it does not have to mean that your quality lowers. I'm totally, you know, I truly believe that your quality will increase. And it does not have to take years either, but it will increase if you have people on the right level, on a personal level as well. So yeah, what can we do? Just change our perspective a bit and reflect on it, talk about it. And yeah.
I think I'd add, you know, leading from love also doesn't have to be low quality. Like you know, your church is a professionally run organization that you have a crafted design Sunday experience and outreach, and you know the so it's not like you know let's all, you know, a free love session at work and sit around singing Kumbaya. It can be very serious, but if the intent is caring and loving, my belief is that output will come up anyways, you know, because people are so inspired, you know. But it's also starting at the other end. It's starting at the other end of the realization of why we're here, and then you know what the goal is, you know.
And I think we didn't touch on that, but I think it's really important. And we have a lot of those discussions or talks about that in church as well. How can we increase our quality? So when we make music, we want to have it of a high standard with the means we have. But we can only sharpen each other if we have a relationship first. And you see that in a voluntary environment very quickly. If you don't have a relationship and you're going to be hard on the output, then people will leave. In business, you don't see that quickly, but it's still going around and people just leave a little bit later, or they get disengaged and they stay, but they're not engaged. You know, and we see that in church as well. People who are engaged they will grow and they will bring forth a lot of fruits in that sense. People who are not part of a team, for example, they are consuming. So the goal for us is also to get as much people as we can involved in any way, as even if it's, you know, making sure that the coffee is on the right table. But then people are engaged and they grow. And if they are only visiting, it's consuming and they will not grow.
Maybe in wrapping up, Nick, this has been great. Maybe a challenge to people is look at your organization and how much time and effort, resource and money do you spend monitoring and controlling output versus inspiring and supporting growth. So if you were to shift a little bit of that effort and attention to the front end, build those relationships, focus on that human growth, just do it as an experiment and then see what happens. In any case, it'll feel better. You'll probably be happier as a manager and enjoying yourself and being, you know, less stressed on Sundays when you're going to church. So, love it. Nick, I'm inspired. Any last question for me or any, you said you haven't written a book yet, but oftentimes when we're talking, you do mention those cards from your church, some sort of inspiration. I think what you should do is just take those cards and then write a paragraph applying each one of those, you know, what you said, when the leader grows, the people grows or something like that. Or when the leader improves, everyone improves. I think every one of those little, you know, parables almost is an amazing gift. Oh, you already did it.
I haven't done it. No, but this is something that, so in church, we are a small local church, but we are part of a group of churches, about 12 churches in the Netherlands. And senior pastor of that church has created basically that book with all the lessons we use. So that's also something that's really interesting. Eh? How many companies have a leadership toolbox that is just there with wisdom, which has already been discussed? I think great.
Cool. Is that something that people can buy or download or something?
No, this is shared on our latest leaders conference. And I don't know if there's an ambition to create a book, but I'll keep you posted on that. And if this becomes available, then I'll share that.
Yeah, cool. Well, and for people listening, we'll wrap it up unless Nick has a question for me, but this is not intended to be an evangelical podcast, but if it is, so be it. If you're connected, I will put the link to Nick's church in here in case you're in Leiden, I think. Where are you?
It's throughout the country.
What's that?
Throughout the country.
So my there's church, multiple, but your specific church is somewhere over in Leiden.
Oh,
okay. That's not near Leiden. So anywhere near Leiden. How did I get Leiden out of that? Oh, well, but any final question or insight from you, Nick?
No, only a word of thanks. I really enjoyed having this chat. It also challenged me to structure my mind a bit, because we have been talking about this informally a couple of times, and I have the feeling that there's so much value in stuff that we learn in church or in that sense any voluntary professionally organized organization. And you know, this gave me the opportunity to put it down a bit more structured, so it also sharpens me and challenges me in my leadership, because I also reflect on this and I'm saying to myself, like in business currently, I can step it up. So hopefully it'll improve my own leadership as well.
And thanks. Yeah, certainly inspires me and maybe inspires others. But there are, again, not going into religion too much, but there are universal truths here. If you get a group of people who are passionate about their craft and their you know, seeking growth and relationships, and they have an eye on achieving something, well, something great will happen, you know. And what business organization wouldn't love to have that. And if there's lessons to be learned nearby, that's awesome. So Nick Van Someren, thank you so much. As always, it's inspirational, educational, and challenging and growing for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Download the Simplicity Toolkit from ebullience.com to discover the power of the Simplicity Scan and Sprint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player.